but yeah, I'm ready to go. Let's do this.
Championship.
Hey, this is George with MMA Junkie Radio.
Do this. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, presented by the AMP Radio Network. This one we like to call Championship Round with gorgeous George Garcia, the leader of Junkie Nation, hashtag Junkie Nation himself. So I am being joined tonight by our fearless leader, as I'm DJ Tony. Tony, how are you doing this evening?
I'm great. Never mind me. The star of the show's here. GG.
You guys go along. What's up?
The leader of hashtag Junkie Nation. Let's bring him in right now with his theme song. Gorgeous George Garcia.
What's up, guys?
Whoa, I love that. GG. We're doing good.
Oh, I was just basking in that. I love that song. But you know what else I'm basking in? It's over 100. So I'll be the old man here and just talk about the weather for like 10 seconds, if you'll allow me. We've been in the 80s, the 90s, but then all of a sudden I looked at my phone like 2 days ago. Guys, we're going like 105, 108, 110, 112, 116. It's brutal. So, yeah, I'm out here in my backyard because AT&T does me no favors. So to get the best coverage and so we can have the best show tonight, I have to go outside to a certain part of my backyard. You may hear Max the JRT chime in at some point, but yeah, I'm ready to go. Let's do this.
And just so you know, DJ Tony sent me a text message earlier on about the weather as well. Tony, do you want to talk about the weather for where you're at?
So get this, GG. So I'm born and raised in San Francisco, as you guys know, right? So just about 3 months ago, we made a soft move out of SF into Danville, California, if you know where that is. Now, keep in mind, I've never had air conditioning in my life. Air conditioning in San Francisco is basically rolling up the window or stepping outside. It's 98 degrees here, Gigi, and I'm melting.
Yeah, I believe it. You know, that's just not where you're at. I mean, most of the United States is going to be like that. I will give Vegas this. It's hot, but it's dry. It's dry summer heat. But I will trade this for a lot of those reputed 90s or 80s, but with that high humidity level, oh my God, that's disgusting. You know, when your shirt starts sticking to you and you're just constantly sweating. So yeah, you got to crank up the AC, and you know, the budget suffers a little bit because that electric bill goes from 100 to 400, but I think it's well worth it.
Then you were saying that in Canada, it gets, you have air conditioning too.
Oh, of course. I mean, you know what we do actually is we get the we cut a hole in the igloo when it gets real warm, and that actually helps out. So no, of course we have air conditioning up here too. Like, it's crazy how you guys down there in the south think that we're nothing but ski hills and snow bunnies, which of course is a great picture in my mind right now. But gentlemen, let's get down to what we wanted to talk about. And Tony, you know, I was going to start the show, George, with a little off-topic Tuesday kind of topic conversation. But Tony said we can't bury the lead. And, of course, we started last night's show with this particular topic as well. Of course, on everybody's mind right now and on everybody's tongue and on every freaking radio station, even on the AM station that I listen to here, they're talking about Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor. So let's throw to you. Of course, we know that you've probably broken this down, and of course we've heard you many days this week break it down on MMA Junkie Radio, but we haven't heard you spit the lyrics on our show. So what do you think about this fight finally being put together?
Well, at least the one good thing is it's finally going to happen, and there's not going to be a six-month lead-off. I think I'd probably
5 years
hang myself. This thing was like in July if this was in December or January, I don't think I could take 6 months of this. But, you know, in 2 months, we'll get it over with. It's something that's special in that, you know, cool. In our lifetime, we got to see one of the best MMA fighters box one of the great boxers. But make no mistake, on August 26th, Floyd Mayweather is going to put on a clinic for however long he wants to, and then he's more likely going to knock out Conor McGregor. I would be disappointed if it was anything less than that, and I won't even accept 12 rounds to zero or scores of 120 to 108. I'm just not going to accept it because Floyd has knocked out lesser caliber opponents, and, you know, brittle hands or not, he needs to do that if he wants to really call this the victory. Because listen, look at the pass he's getting. This will be his 50th win if he can get past McGregor, which would break the record for most undefeated wins, you know, and best undefeated record. And the guy he did it against, it's I don't know. I mean, is that the guy you really want to break it against? You want to break it against one of the better guys in your division, but he retired 2 years ago. And so he's coming back, and this is a cash grab. It's nothing different. We all know it. And despite all that, you know, a lot of us are going to pay for it. And I guess it's because there's a value for entertainment. You know, somebody was telling me the other day, hey, would you pay to watch, you know, a pay-per-view to see some guy walk between, you know, the Twin Towers when they were here? But pick two other towers, because obviously that'd be tasteless to continue with that. But you know what I mean. Or even the guy that walked across Niagara Falls. Yeah, I guess there's a little bit of value in that. Now, is it $100? You know, I don't know. But there's a lot of things people pay for their entertainment. And Dana White, Leonard Ellery, even Floyd himself are going to tell you why you should tune in and how Conor has a chance. But he doesn't, guys. He has no chance. Zero. Zero chance. Not 0.01, not 0.0001. He has zero chance.
So, Gigi, what you're saying, not one, not two, not three. But, all right, I got to throw Proteus under the bus on this one, Gigi, because, as you know, I called your show as I listen to it every day. So shout out to MMA Junkie Radio. Gigi, obviously I thought it was absurd that John Orlando, who we're fans of, was that McGregor is going to knock out Mayweather in three rounds. He's not the only one that said that, Gigi. Your very own Proteus also said that.
Yeah, well, Proteus.
I don't. At least now we know how
your drug dealer gets your drug. There's that hole in the igloo, and I guess that's how he hands you the little baggie and the pipes and whatever else you're smoking, because it is not going to happen. Conor McGregor does not have that type of boxing experience, and this is a scientific game. It's a component of MMA that Conor does well for MMA, but boxing for boxing, it's just not going to happen. And this isn't just because it's boxing. If you took Conor McGregor against another great Muay Thai fighter in the same weight class, Conor would get chewed up very bad there. He'd get cut up pretty bad, and he'd get his legs battered pretty bad. If you put Conor McGregor in against another wrestler, the same thing. Against a jiu-jitsu guy, the same thing. It's just a whole other different animal, and it just so happens he happens to be picking on one of the best of our generation.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. I, you know, when this fight was first announced, I even called into the show and said, you know, Conor doesn't stand a chance in hell. But Marco was making a very good point last night on the show that, you know what, the rematch, if Conor McGregor wins, will make even more money. And it was appealing to me in the way that this is already a cash grab, and I would not put it past these fellas working together to, you know, see what they can do and create another fight. Of course, we've seen that the Athletic Commission in Nevada, where you are right now, George, is willing to sanction just about anything to make money. So I wouldn't put them past them to do, you know, just about anything to get make more money. And if Conor McGregor wins that first fight, if he's able to touch Floyd Mayweather, which of course you have said is probably not likely, and I tend to agree with you, but everything that we've seen out of, you know, the UFC or even the Nevada State Athletic Commission seems like, again, like you said, it's just a cash grab. So what's to stop them from, you know, fixing it up and getting another cash grab in another year or so?
I just went through this with basketball people. They were telling me that when the Cavs got off to a good start, you remember in game five, they were leading through about halfway the second quarter. And I think I noted, hey, nice start by the Cavs on social media, up 8 in Golden State. Golden State better turn it on. Kept it simple, no trash talk or anything like that. And of course, I must have had about five different people tell me, well, that's what the NBA wants, of course. They want to go to game seven, count on it, Cavs winning and winning back in Cleveland and blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, you know what? These are the conspiracy theorists, the ones that get on my fucking last nerve, all right? And I said, okay, but if the Warriors put them away, then we can all finally exhale and be relieved that the NBA is not rigged, right? And of course, they had nothing but to say, yeah, you're right. And guess what? The Warriors came back and won, and the NBA didn't rig it. That would have been a big cash grab, but it didn't work out that way. If we convince ourselves to think that way all the time about these conspiracies and what makes money, and I mean, you're going to do more damage to your own psyche and to your own ability to cover the sport. Basically, you're admitting to the world that you're covering a sport that's a big fraud, you know, and I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Maybe in 20 years, someone will write a book and go, hey, look at all these admissions by different commissioners. And maybe then I'll say, wow, I guess I missed it. But no, I'm not going to let myself, while I'm covering a sport, and in this case, it's not my sport, boxing, but I'm not going to let myself believe that Floyd would take a dump just to get even more money. That guy's got several businesses. He does well. He doesn't need it. And right now somebody's offering him $100 million at least to box a guy who's never boxed professionally before. He sees it as easy money.
Have I been wrong yet? Have I been wrong yet?
Absolutely. Well said, George. I suppose I'm being...
Well, he has been wrong. Didn't he say he was going to take out Nate Diaz the first time? And he didn't.
Correct.
That was 18 months ago, for crying out loud.
I love the pictures that have been coming, resurfacing of Nate Diaz with his arms up. And Conor McGregor is still on the mat. It's been very, very nice to look at. And hey, listen, I just want to clear up that I am no Conor McGregor nut hugger at all. I would love to see him get his face boxed up as much as the next guy. But you brought up, George, you brought up basketball, and that's actually where I wanted to start off the show. I didn't want to get into this heated argument like I got into with Marco yesterday about the Mayweather-McGregor fight, because I think it's a steaming pile of turd. But let's talk about the Golden State Warriors and their, you know, like you were mentioning, their beautiful win against the Cavaliers. You know, they didn't get the sweep, but I saw your Facebook post after the Golden State Warriors won, and you said, you know, you congratulated the Cavaliers for not rolling over and going and getting swept, but I mean, you got to give it kudos to the best team in the NBA right now, at least, the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, yeah. They're the best team for sure. They're the best team that we've seen in a while. Those guys can shoot from all over the court. They're very athletic. They're very unselfish. They deserve to be the champs. In fact, they should have been the champs last year. I mean, to choke a 3-1 lead is almost unforgivable. Right now, we could talk about three-peat. Right now, you could put them up against the Bulls and the Lakers and anyone else that's three-peated and get them in that conversation. But they slipped up, and that's something the other two championship teams didn't, the other two that I mentioned. Here's my point of contention. Last year in the playoffs, Durant was up 3-1 on Golden State. So before Golden State gave up a 3-1 lead to LeBron and the Cavs, they were down 3-1, and those guys gutted out a huge win, a huge comeback against Durant, Westbrook, and the Thunder. I believe that Durant would have taken greater pleasure in winning his first title with the team that drafted him. And I know they were the Supersonics for a season before they became the Thunder, but you guys know what I mean. With the team that drafted him and the city that supported him for the last 9-10 years, you do as best as you can, and then you add a piece or two, and you come back and give it your best the following season. We know they were right there because they were up 3-1 against the Warriors, against a team that won 73 games. So they were pretty damn well themselves. Instead, what does he do? He leaves and goes and joins the team that already had 73 wins and gets his ring. Kind of a slam dunk. I mean, really, Golden State already proved they kind of don't really need him because they won the title the year before, and they won it, and they were up 3-1 on, So, I don't know. It just looked like one of those little bitch moves where you can't beat them, you join them. And, you know, I don't know. Old school guy like me, I don't respect that. I think he should have stayed with Oklahoma, added a piece, whatever it was that was missing, whatever it was that didn't get them over the hump, and try and win it with Oklahoma. Now, a lot of people say, hey, he tested free agency. Yeah, I guess you're right. He did. Others have done it as well. But, you know, it's his decision. Maybe he couldn't stand Oklahoma. You know, maybe he wasn't treated well there. I don't know the full story. I don't know. I just know the basics. So they lost to Cleveland. And what I don't understand is they barely lost to Cleveland. Why didn't they just add a piece or two and go back and beat Cleveland with the same thing? Right now, ESPN, thank God, is airing a series, a 30 for 30 that involves the Lakers and the Celtics and how heated that was. Those guys hated each other. But as much as they hated each other, they loved competing against each other. They didn't like, you know, they didn't like do this little merry-go-round, this carousel of joining other teams that had just beaten them to create these super teams. That's the easy way out. You do it with the pieces and the cogs of the engine that got you there, you know? And I just think, I mean, it was embarrassing. Like, he gets the MVP trophy, and so he's talking up there for like 5 minutes with Silver and everything. And then they go, now let's bring in Steph Curry. Now I think they said, let's bring in Iguodala. Klay Thompson's just sitting in the back. He's the fourth fucking piece now, and he's a vital piece, and he's a great player. He was drafted by them. He's actually what takes a lot of the pressure off Curry. He's a stud, man. And he's just hanging back. And finally, they get to him, almost like a mercy grab. I'm telling you, if they would have been, you know, a little short on the minutes, he may not have even been able to say something, you know. And he should be one of the first ones up there. I'm telling you, that's one of the stars of the team. They didn't need to import a superstar in his prime, you know, just to get that trophy. I think they could have done it themselves. I think KD could have tried to beat that same team that they were up 3-1 on. I don't know. I don't respect that hustle, honestly.
Gigi, here's the thing, though. Being that we're both Niner fans, and you know me, can't go there with Durant when you and I being Niner fans, having, of course, you know, Deion Sanders join and everybody else that joined, you know, and there were a lot of free agents that joined the Niners that made them what they were. And let's be honest, I mean, you got to go to the Lakers too, Gigi, because Shaq, Chamberlain, Abdul-Jabbar, what do they all have in common? None of them were Lakers. And they went to L.A. to become champions. So, I mean, you got to be fair with that, right? Because the Niners did it, so did your beloved Lakers.
Chamberlain played when there was 8 teams in the league. So if you're leaving one of them, that only left 6 of them, unless you went to the team that was beating you. If we watched the 30 for 30, I'd have to see exact, you know, if it was an apples-apples comparison there. But I know with Alcindor, he joined us, meaning, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he joined us when we were on a low, and Shaq came over. I think they had gotten swept from the finals. So a team in Orlando from a different conference came to another conference because they had gotten swept by the Bulls, if I'm not mistaken. He came over to the Lakers, who hadn't even gotten out of the first round. You see what I'm saying? So there wasn't like I could see if maybe the Lakers had been up on the Bulls and just lost to them, then imported Shaq. You know, but and then as far as the Niners comparisons, you know, that's one of 11 players on the field. It's a little different from or one out of 22 if you include offense and defense. I mean, the impact's there. I get it. You know, but this is a little bit more direct. This is a team that just, you know, 1 year prior, they had played each other and they were up 3-1 on. And then Durant goes and joins that team because, you know, he couldn't get over the hump on them. It's a lot more direct. It's a superstar in its prime. So I've heard that before. I've heard it like with Shaq, and it wasn't. And Dwight Howard was another one. When he joined us, we hadn't just reached the conference finals or the NBA finals or anything like that the prior season. So it wasn't apples to apples.
Okay, so let me throw this to you both. With the state of the salary cap, and of course how we know that the Golden State Warriors were able to kind of take advantage of a loophole. To get Durant over to their team due to the, you tell me, I'll tell you, I can't think of it right now. The salary cap, the loophole in the salary cap due to the new television contract. That's where, thank you for connecting the dots, Matt. Is it viable even for these guys, the Golden State Warriors, to stay together as they are and win, you know, a couple more championships down the road? Because I've heard that, Gigi, I've heard that the number to keep this team together is astronomical. It's in the multi-billion dollars when you consider in, you know, the taxes on breaking the salary cap. So what are your thoughts of this team staying together for long term, winning a bunch of championships? Or do you think we're pretty much at the end of the line or close to it with this team?
Well, now they've already committed the sin, so at this point they might as well chase history. They'll each have to take a little bit of a cut in pay, but I think they'll do it with the sacrifice that they can, you know, win 4 out of 5 or another 3 in a row, or excuse me, another 2 in a row, which would give them the 3-peat, or anything that puts them in the conversation with the great teams. So they're all in their prime, 20s, or I think Durant might be 30 already. So, yeah, I mean, at this point, they might as well stay together and see what kind of a run they can have. I think it's the luxury tax that the owner has to pay, and it's a high figure, but winning takes care of that. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think the owner will pay it. I think the players themselves will take less money, and they already have, and now they're just going to chase history.
Tony, what do you think about the same question? I mean, I assume as a Golden State Warrior fan, you'd be happy to take, you know, 4, 3, or 4 or 5 championships in a row and pay that luxury tax, even though it's not something you need to pay, right, Tony?
Here's the one thing that I will say, and Gigi may agree with me here just because he's been, I think, Gigi, you're a Dodger fan too. Anyone that's a true Bay Area fan, and I don't mean one of these guys that jumped on the bandwagon when the Giants were winning, for those that experienced what being a Bay Area fan was during the Run TMC days, shout out to Gigi for throwing that on his show too, by the way. Anyone that experienced those lean years knows that with Bay Area fans, it's always like, boy, the other shoe's about to drop. We never have confidence. Like when the Cavs won game 4, Gigi, I was thinking, Gus, here we go again. And this is, you know, a longtime fan of Mitch Richmond, you know, Chris Mullen, my guy, Tim Hardaway, which is where I got my first crossover. So do I think this team is going to stay together? I think it's kind of hard. I think certain people can take certain pay cuts for a bit. Durant already said that he's willing to take a slight pay cut. It, obviously, living in the Bay Area supports a lot of things. Durant has a few things going on with, don't get me started on the NBA, guys. I'm the GG of the NBA. But that was my first podcast, by the way, guys, was my NBA podcast. But it's impossible that this team, the way it stands, it's going to stay together. I think you're going to see JaVale McGee and some of the others leave because they will get higher pay elsewhere. Will the core stay? Yeah, you're going to have Klay Thompson sign for a couple more years. I'm sure that Stephen will re-sign. KD will re-sign. He's already said so. And of course, as long as Draymond's willing to settle down, he's already signed for a few years. So that will stay, but I think you'll see some of the other guys changing around.
Tony, was that crossover by any chance killer?
It was my killer crossover. Look at you. Damn.
I learned from the best. Thank you very much, Tony. George, would you like to retort to that at all, or can we move on to the next topic?
Well, I just don't know the situation as far as their salaries. I know that the NBA, each team has a huge cap because of the latest contract. So there's a lot of space for a lot of teams. If they make wise decisions, at least the big four, Durant, Thompson, Curry, Green, those guys should be able to stay together. I'm sure a few of them might have to take a couple million. But, you know, you do have to dress it up with role players, and they really have some good role players there. So I think their strong nucleus should be able to make it through at least a couple more seasons. But again, I don't know the numbers behind the scenes, so hard to comment. It's just I'm kind of going off mainstream news and what they've been saying. You know, even LeBron himself said it. That team's set up to win for a few years. So we'll see, you know. And it's a good team.
Gigi, I wanted to jump on that same train sort of being a Lakers fan that you are, and I think you're also a NUCLA fan, right? UCLA? Aren't you a NUCLA fan?
No. I hate UCLA. Oh, okay.
All right. Well, this may go well then. So Gigi, obviously, we got to talk Lonzo Ball because you obviously know who he is. Big time, obviously, L.A. head with a crazy father. And everything points to that he's going to be a Laker. What are your thoughts on Lonzo Ball becoming a Laker and any distractions with his crazy father?
All I can do is trust Magic and Rob Pelinka, the new general manager. Luke Walton, all three of them have obviously had a lot of success in their respective fields. This is Palinka's first year as a general manager, but he was a successful agent for many years. And let them feel it out. If that dad in any way is going to be a distraction either to the son or to the team, oh no, guys. The son's talented for sure, and the fact that he'd become from UCLA, you just get over it, you know. But if there's any kind of doubts that there's not, you know, the number three guy isn't, or the number four guy isn't a better choice, there isn't any doubts, then okay, pull the trigger. If there are doubts, then let's go with the next guy, and sure, it might blow up in our face or whatever, but we have some pretty good talent at the guard position right now, so I don't think it'd be the worst thing possible. Regardless, there's a chance we could draft them, and it could be bad as well, you know, and when the writing's on the wall, it's an even more shameful move.
Oh, hello.
I know, right? Whose balls did I have to fondle?
Oh, sorry about that.
That's Proteus running the board.
Let's change subjects real quick, because it is championship rounds with GG, but we do like to talk about things that are non MMA, but we've only got you for another half an hour, so let's kind of switch gears here, George, and get a little bit into MMA. And what I would really like to do right now is kind of get you to look back on what was the Junkie Gathering 2017. I mean, we had you on before the Junkie Gathering, and we were, you know, kind of talking about it and leading up to it. And now you've had some time to really digest what happened during that full week. And I know it's a very, very busy week for you guys, and it probably takes you guys a little bit of time to, you know, kind of decompress all of the information that's come into your brain. So tell us some of the news and notes of the Junkie Gathering, maybe, you know, some of the your fondest memories of this year, who was a real a-hole, who pissed you off the most, how Dania... No, I'm just joking. Let's relive the Junkie Gathering a little bit here and tell us, you know, tell us why some of the listeners who haven't been out there should go and experience a Junkie Gathering with you guys.
Right. Okay. So we hadn't had one in 2 years. We skipped last year. And so for one, it was great to have it again. We really did miss it by not having it that year, in 2016, but we came back, we had it in 2017, and our backs were to the wall a little bit, because every Junkie Gathering has been in conjunction with a UFC event that's happening in town here in Las Vegas. And this time there wasn't an event. So because we planned so far ahead, I think we just assumed that Memorial Day, which has been, you know, we'll call it a tent pole type of holiday for the UFC, you know, that along with New Year's Eve weekend and 75% of the time Labor Day weekend, and of course International Super Bowl back in the day, they just had certain weekends that you could always count on. Well, it didn't happen. So we were a little nervous. How's everyone going to take to it? And here's why. Not because GOES doesn't plan a great Junkie Gathering, but because there's a lot of people that come for the first time. We save up a lot of money, and in the past years, a few of them kind of peel off, you know, from an event or two to go watch the weigh-ins or open workouts or the fights themselves. And that's cool, because we don't go to watch the fights. We all go to a viewing party. But if you've never been to Vegas and you've never been to a UFC event, well, a lot of people like to do that. So, you know, that part I felt bad in case anyone had wanted to do that. But again, we played the hand we were dealt, and it was out. We had a great time with so many people, a lot of new listeners, Junkie Gathering participants. And a lot of them had listened to the show for a long time and finally decided to pull the plug. You know what the theme was? The most common theme was, I should have done this 2-3 years ago. People were logging on to, you know, Expedia.com or Travelocity.com. They're looking at the hotel package with the airline package. And then right when they're about to do it, they let someone influence them, their wives, their significant others, their buddies. You're going to go. travel across the world and meet up with a bunch of people you've never met, all because you like the same sport. And of course, peer pressure sets in. You're like, yeah, you're right. This is a waste of my time. But finally, they said, the hell with it. I'm doing it. And all of those people had an amazing time. And we had an amazing time hosting them. You know, we did a lot of fun activities revolving around MMA and just partying in general. And they got to meet a lot of fighters, a lot of people from behind the scenes. And, of course, now that was our sixth junkie gathering. So a lot of them are just happy to see each other. Many of them have become, you know, great friends that keep in touch through social media. Or they run into each other, you know, because of their other travels, work, play, whatever. So a lot of them have made some really, really great friendships. We used to joke in the past, Jack from Seattle and Luna from Seattle even became the roommates, you know, in the city of Seattle. So, you know, we did a lot of fun activities and a lot of memories were created. And Goz was telling me that the feedback he got was that I spent more time and, who knows, maybe when there's an event in town, I'm you know, all over town trying to chase down the fighters for them to come in studio so that the junkies can meet as many people as possible. And this time, not having that responsibility, I was able to spend more time with junkies. So maybe that's why I had that empty feeling when the last junkie left. It was sad, man. I was like, oh, man. You know, it's like your family reunion just ended and the last person left. And you're like, damn, tomorrow there's not going to be a junkie there. So, It was a bummer, and he said the word decompress. It was more of an emotional decompress, you know, especially when the alcohol's flowing and people tell you such nice things about the radio show and about Goz and I, you know, and that means a lot to us, you know. And so it was a good time, man. Vegas is 24/7, so there was always pockets of junkies either at the bar, in front of the studio, at the other bar in the other hotel inside the Luxor, which is attached to Mandalay Bay, and people breaking off and doing blackjack runs and swimming pool runs and let's go buy pot runs, everything you could think of,
yeah.
But always coming back at 10 a.m. Pacific just so they could huddle up and share stories from the night before and then go on the next activity, one of the stuff. But, you know, you can have a great time out in Vegas, and he tries to get you the best discount prices everywhere and as many possible MMA notables and fighters to us, you know, so it's a great experience for you. So it was a home run, man. But thanks for asking. Let's make it next year. Hoo-ah!
Gigi, we're losing you just a tad. Hey, Gigi, sticking with the MMA theme, Glory 42, I don't know if you saw any of that or I've never seen anything like that in all the years that I've been watching MMA, and I clearly haven't been watching as many as you guys have, but your thoughts, Gigi, on the outside interference and the fighter just turning around. Are you familiar with what happened at Glory 42?
Yeah, I am. The guy got his bell wrong, and I think he just thought that was the real bell. The bell that he heard in his head must have been the bell that he thought, you know, the round was over, the fight was over, because he just disengages from, you know, the fight itself. And, of course, you have to protect yourself at all times, you know, when you're out there in combat. So we'll say Fighter A and Fighter B. Fighter A and Fighter B were fighting. Fighter A hurts Fighter B, because I don't know their name, sorry. And this was a kickboxing match in Glory. And so Fighter B gets his bell rung. He starts to walk away as if, you know, he's just in La La Land. Fighter A doesn't hesitate, and boom, clocks him. Fighter B's hands were down. He looked like he was just out of it, like he might be going to his corner or who knows what. Fighter A in no way was wrong in what he did, because, again, fight until they tell you not to fight. Unless the referee jumps in there or there's a bell. And even when there's a bell, the referee... That's only a courtesy. The referee is the one that has to stop the action. You can throw a punch. Now, he goes in there and he celebrates a little bit. He stands on the ropes. And, of course, these are fans. No one to do with Fighter B's corner. These are fans that come out and start wailing on Fighter A. They thought it was a low blow. Well, I shouldn't call it that because it wasn't a groin shot. What I mean, it was just a classless move. But, you know, they obviously don't know the rules. And even though in combat sports history, there have been other fighter aides who have maybe taken a step back, assess the situation, and make sure fighter B is okay. That's not in the rule book that you have to have that kind of courtesy. So he did nothing wrong by the rule book, and he had every right to celebrate. People backflip all the time. People jump around and high-five the crowd. People jump out of cages. All he did was jump onto the second or third rope and just basically throw his arms up in the air like Christ the Redeemer and like the statue in Rio de Janeiro. Nothing wrong with it. And two fans came out of nowhere. Despicable act. Just socked the guy up pretty good. Heard that it may have even broken his jaw. They were solid shots. And, of course, chaos ensued there in the ring. Terrible, terrible. Security needs to be a lot better than that going forward. But, you know, even on MMA Junkie Radio, I've just been talking about how society has really changed a lot. You know, people do not hesitate breaking the laws that we have established. Some are written and some are unwritten. And just people need to be more kind to each other because this is some bullshit, man. And it's really, really scary world to live in nowadays.
No doubt. I agree. Despicable to see anybody from the audience rushing the cage, the ring. I guess it's kind of a plus for having the cage because it's a little bit harder to get into than the ring, right, George? I mean, but I digress. It's not something that I want to see moving forward. And like you said, security does need to be a lot better. You can't have that kind of stuff happening at any event. You know, you can't allow the crowd to get out of control and attack the people who are you know, prize fighting. If they want to fight with themselves in the audience, I don't condone that either. But more than likely, they should do that more than attacking a professional fighter who is doing, like you said, George, exactly what he's trained to do. No shame in that game. I didn't see anything wrong with it either. And of course, we saw Mayweather do something similar, you know, in past years, you know, when the opponent that he was facing, and I'm sure you could give us the exact opponent he was facing, you know, he got him and his guard was down. And like you said, protect yourself at all times.
That's right. His name was Victor Ortiz, another lefty. Another lefty who's boxed all his life. And even though he roughed up Mayweather a little bit, he was more physical with him. He still came up short, not just because of that shot, but he was starting to lose rounds. Another lefty, Zab Judah, who's boxed all his life, gave Mayweather some tough rounds early on, and Mayweather peeled away. He's faced at least a half dozen that I can think of. Manny Pacquiao, Victor Ortiz, Robert Guerrero. Lefties out there, all right? And these guys have been boxing for a long time. And I would say collectively, he's maybe lost 8 to 10 rounds to about 6 world-class lefties. Some of them have gone on to be world champions. And Conor McGregor is supposed to beat Floyd Mayweather because he has trouble with lefties. What trouble has he had? He's never lost to one. He's rarely even lost rounds to any of them. So, and these are guys that have been doing it all their lives. So, yeah, even tying in our original topic, I don't know. But they're going to shovel the shit at us, and some of them are going to consume it. I'm not. You know, they tried to shovel it at me. I was like, no, I'm not having that. I watch my fair share of boxing. I'm not a boxing beat writer. I don't watch boxing like my brother. He watches more of it. But I've watched enough history of boxing, and I've seen enough to know that this is in no way going to be competitive at all. You know, look, glory is a ring. It may be, you know, them and it's Showtime and K1, you know, I'm sure they've put a lot of events and crazy stuff's happened in the past, and it may be tough to put a lot of, you'd have to probably put maybe 5 security around the ring on each side. It's a square ring, so they'd have to put 20 to make sure that never happens again. And who knows if they have those types of resources. But I hope they learn from it and maybe they just have security that's, paying a little bit more attention going forward, because that was a damn shame. And, you know, that could start a riot, man. Those riots, man. Once balls start flying and chairs start flying, it could be really, really dangerous, not just to the fighters, into the commission officials and anybody that's around the apron, but, you know, the fans that go as well, they're not going to get in a fight. They're just going to watch fights.
Championship.
Okay, I think I'm next. Gigi, question for you. Now, I don't recall you really getting into it too heavy. Obviously, we've seen a lot of horrible things, including, of course, the UPS thing that happened in actually the area I grew up in San Francisco. So this pales in comparison to that, because that's like you were talking about horrible things that have happened. But so I almost feel bad now bringing it up now that I prefaced by saying that. But, you know, Angela Magana, I don't recall you getting too deep into this. And I don't know it's because you actually interview these fighters on a regular basis, so it kind of puts you in a tough position. But, you know, Angela, your majesty, has never been one to shy away from saying things or doing things for shock value. Not that she's a bad person, because I don't know her on a personal level in any capacity. But, you know, I've seen Cyborg in a couple of Bellator events, where, including the one that I think you and Goz were at. I know Goz was there for sure in San Jose, where, you know, it took her 45 minutes to get it from one side of the floor to the other, because she would not turn down any fans. And, you know, she was wearing 6-inch heels and all this. So that, you know, I actually was taken aback by what a nice person she was. Your thoughts on the whole Angela Magana thing, not her getting punched, but, you know, the gym kicking her out, et cetera, and everything that happened in the aftermath and the lawsuits, et cetera.
Yeah. Okay. Well, obviously you've seen how she's behaved on the reality show. She's feisty chick, confrontational chick, especially on, you know, on social media, same thing. And I get it. Part of it's the shtick. And I encourage the fighters to have a shtick to stand out and do it a certain way. But when you go down that road of pissing other fighters off, you know, like jail, pissing off a whole country, but, you know, you have to know how to manage it. And you also have to know that one day you may have to pay for that. And, you know, she came at Cyborg, you know, with social media posts, memes, I think they call them. And Cyborg, you know, this was at a retreat that was attended by at least half the UFC roster. There must have been like 250 athletes there, something like that, I heard. The roster contained 500, and so there's a lot of testosterone and estrogen flowing there. There was also alcohol flowing, but I don't know if either one was buzzed or not, but who knows? Anyway, it's the environment too. Sometimes you may be sober, but if everyone around you is buzzed and they're looking for a fight, all of a sudden you might be looking for a fight. But what seemed to happen was Cyborg confronted Magana, and Magana, to her credit, three weight classes down, 45 and 15, she did not back down one bit. In fact, she actually took a step towards Chris. And that's where the mistake was. I think if she just would have held her ground, said what she had to, it just would have been a face-to-face confrontation. Maybe a slap would have came out of there, one of those Stockton slaps or something like that, or maybe a push. A lot of times I think the athletes know, hey, if I push someone, someone will step in between, but I kind of send the message that, hey, I can get gangster if I need to. So I don't know. I'm neither one of them. I wasn't there. I don't know what they were thinking. But once Magana took a step into Chris's space, the fact that Chris was furious and the fact that either one of them or both of them may have been buzzed or who knows what they were thinking, I think at that point, you know, there's a protect yourself at all times on the streets too for a lot of these fighters. And I think that was her reaction. She stepped to her, and so Cyborg just naturally threw it. You know, Chris is a mean chick, but a mean chick between ropes or a cage. Outside of it, she seems like a gal. You know, I'm sure she could take it there, though, if she needed to. But it's just going to be a confrontation. And, you know, the other one, you know, took us the first step in initiating, you know, some sort of combat on the streets, stepping in someone. And a lot of times, you know, people are raised, hey, you hit, you know, people's parents tell them, hit them before they hit you. And sometimes that's engraved, you know, and in your psyche. So she pops her. And you know what? I think it should end there. Now, Magana may seek more attention by saying she's going to do a lawsuit and all that. I know the cops are called over, but what's she really going to get out of that? You know, I think the lawsuit's got to prove that there was some sort of a loss of income. Let's say she broke her wrist with the fall and now she can't fight. Well, maybe she has something there, but everybody seemed to shake off whatever happened. I don't think a tooth was lost. And it was just probably embarrassment more than anything. I don't think psychologically Magana is going to suffer. So I just don't think there's a lawsuit there. And I'm not even sure that Chris is going to have to do anything other than maybe pay some sort of a community fine or something like that. So I think we all just move on with it. Since then, other shit's happened. And it'll take the spotlight off of Chris. You know, I'm sure Chris took the spotlight off someone else. I think DJ was the best thing that happened to Cyborg. You know, he's battling Dana, and now this whole McGregor Mayweather thing might take the light off DJ, and things will just continue. So, no big deal, guys. It's just like a little bit of dust. You get it put in the dustpan, throw it away, and that's that. March on.
Fetch.
DJ Tony?
No. Gigi, final thing that I want to ask you about this, because I don't think too many people have brought this up, but Bellator, to me, Gigi is doing some interesting things. Mind you, I'm not, I guess some could say I'm a Bellator apologist at sometimes. I'm definitely a Scott Coker fan. But to me, they're becoming a version of what Zuffa's UFC was, right? With the signing of Ranallo, with the signing of Goldie, with the signing of some of the fighters that have either pulled at the heartstrings or are fan favorites. What are your thoughts on what Bellator is doing right now? And I know you've already spoken about Goldie and Ranallo, but more in terms of the public perception, do you think it will change for Bellator?
That's tough to say, Tony. It both seem like solid moves to me. No disrespect to the Sean Grande guy. I wasn't his biggest fan. I didn't think he did a terrible job, but I think that the two guys they brought in are better. You know, for one, they're more experienced, but two, they're just better for it. And of the two, of course, you all know that I'm a big Mauro Ranallo fan. So what's it going to do for the brand? It's really tough to say. Like, you know, there's a lot of fans. I think a lot of people put a lot of stock into what the fans might think. For the most part, from what I can tell, especially with the millennials, they don't give a shit, man. Just give them a great fight and a great story, you know, and they'll latch on to a few of them and become fans of those fighters and therefore become fans of your brand. But you said it, man. You said it at the beginning, Scott Coker. That's the key right there. He knows how to navigate and how to operate, you know, promotion. He's done it with way less resources at Strikeforce, and he was successful. You know, even hardcore UFC fans, nuthuggers, have to respect that some great fighters came out of Strikeforce. A couple of them are world champions right now, Daniel Cormier, Tyron Woodley. But some really good fighters came out of Strikeforce, and they've contributed to the UFC. So between that, what we've learned from WEC and other Bellator fighters that have come over, yeah, the UFC brand is the most powerful. But they don't have all the best fighters. You know, there's great fighters all over the place. And our hope is that they always fight under one league because we always want to see the best versus the best, but it's just not going to happen. So will it be great to have a number two? And that clearly appears that's what Bellator is. Yeah, let them get stronger. And I think they got the right guy making key decisions. You know, some people may disagree with the Hoist Gracies and the Shamrocks and the Kimbos, but all done. So that they could get more eyeballs on their younger fighters, their younger prospects. You know, that audience is built in to buy anything Tito Ortiz will do. Anybody that he'll fight, people will tune in. Chael Sonnen, Wanderlei Silva. That's why they're there. Not because they're the best at this current moment, but because they bring eyeballs, you know, and hopefully that gives time for the younger talent to develop as well and for people to remember the brand, Bellator. That's what these guys want to do is create the brand and make the brand stronger. You know, it just Bellator cares a little bit more about also bringing the fighters with them. Whereas the UFC, nah, man, they just got their select few that they'll pump up because they're obviously superstars, but the UFC only cares about the three letters, UFC.
All right, George, I want to get you out here on this last question. This will be the last question of the night, I promise, and then we will let you go. And thank you very much for your time. And we always enjoy doing this championship rounds with gorgeous George Garcia, as I like to say. And we thank you for doing it, you know, and agreeing to do it once a month with us. But here's the last question. We're hearing a little bit of coming out of the media about this MMA Journalist Association. And I know that you and Goes don't really, you know, consider yourselves as journalists, but of course you work with, you know, a number of journalists, you know, John Morgan, Dan Stupp, Simon Simono from the paper USA Today. So what do you think about this new MMA Journalist Association that has been broached? You know, we've heard that Ariel Helwani and Luke Thomas and, you know, Chad Dundas and Ben Fulks, of course, of MMA Junkie are kind of on the board of directors. So can you give us a comment or do you not want to comment on that at all?
Well, you know, I asked Dan a question the other day, Dan Stupp, the interim president of the MMAJA. You know, a lot of this was spearheaded early on, 2009, and then it lost traction. It came back after UFC 199 with the treatment that Ariel Helwani, Esther Lynn, and Casey Layden had to endure, getting kicked out, getting their credentials taken away. And, of course, peer pressure, I think, you know, because a lot of other mainstream media came to Ariel's defense. The UFC let them back in within 48 hours. But I think the writers, you know, they've seen the success that a writers association has had in other sports. What I wanted to get out of Dan a little bit more was what are some of the more clear-cut benefits to joining an association, you know? And he gave us a few points. But I've yet to look at their constitution. It was down for a little bit, and then the news of McGregor and Mayweather had broke. And so now I need to look at it and see. But, you know, they want better accommodations in the workplace and, you know, fair treatment across the board. And they also collectively want to raise the profile of the other journalists because the sport has a lot of bloggers and, you know, a lot of internet sensations and, you know, not a lot of them are playing by the rules, you know. And so I think they just want to lift the standards of journalism in this young sport. And I think that goes for anything. I think fighters' professionalism, promoters and their professionalism, MMA journalists and their professional. I think everyone is starting to get better as they realize that there's enough money out there for a lot of people to make a living for a long time. I firmly believe that early on, people were railroading each other, you know, off the road. That's my dollar. You're not going to get my dollar. You hear horror stories of managers just stepping over each other, you know, and grabbing other fighters from their stables. And so there's a lot of bad apples in the sport. But slowly that's going to get phased out because it's becoming more professional and there's professional being involved in the sport. And so this association will be good. You know, Ariel went to a very reputable school in Syracuse. Dan went to the University of Missouri, another very reputable school when it comes to journalism. So
absolutely,
they know the ins and outs of the ethics of, you know, of journalism. So just those two alone, along with Ben Fulks, Chad Dundas, the others that are involved, I think they're going to be great mentors for the young ones that come through, you know, having respect amongst each other, but at the same time, banding together when needed. So I plan on learning more about it, guys, and I also plan on having, you know, a few of these guys on the show just so that we can keep picking up more information slowly but surely. And I think, frankly, not to speak on their behalf, but I think they're also still gathering information. I bet you whatever the constitution they've drafted, that, you know, that'll get edited maybe a couple of times, but they got the basics down. And they'll learn because this is it's a worldwide sport, and it involves many different people from many different parts of the country of the world. Excuse me. And you know, I often joke on the show with the Brazilian media how, you know, you're not supposed to cheer when you're on press road, and they've been very egregious with that in the past. So, you know, they're learning, and it's probably something that Goz and I may have done as well when we were tag radio, who knows. So I think everybody's going to definitely shape up going forward, and this is going to be a big part of the reason.
Yeah, and as you said, George, we have interviewed Dan on this program. We've also interviewed Chad Dundas, and if you guys need any kind of look into view into to who these guys are, please go back into the archives and take a look at those or take a listen to those shows, because these guys are, as George said, very, very talented and very, very smart individuals. We have not been had the pleasure of interviewing Ariel Helwani, but of course, as you said, George, he did study at a very prestigious school as well, and we wish all the journalists very well, because I think, George, it's a very good step in the right direction, not only for the journalists but for the sport in general, to show even the fighters that there is hope. You can, you know, band together, even though you have differences, or you work for, you know, different sources, or you're out for yourself, or you're working for yourself. You can band together and take a set of rules and move it forward for everyone to benefit. And I think that's very, very interesting. But George, we have officially taken up enough of your time. I wanted to thank you very much. Follow George at MMA Junkie George. Follow Junkie Radio at MMA Junkie Radio. And of course, the Devious and Dastardly Goz, who of course is George's brother, at the Goz and at MMA Junkie, if you need any news. And of course, they have the app. George, I'm going to give you a couple of seconds to sign out here, and then I'm going to play your music. So anything you'd like to say on the way out, George, and we appreciate your time once again. Thank you very much for doing this.
Well, thank you, guys. It was a pleasant chat. I'm glad we get to do it once a month. Covered a lot of topics, and can't wait for next month. You guys let me know. I'll be there. Thank you for your support of our show. Whether it's calling in or listening, it means a lot to us. And for those that have never caught our show, it's 10 a.m. Pacific. You can catch us off of our official Facebook page, facebook.com/official MMA junkie. And there's replays on Sirius XM 93, 8 Eastern, following day at 7 a.m. Eastern, iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, we're everywhere. Check us out.
YouTube.
And support YouTube as well. Yes, thank you. And, support all the other shows like Amp Radio. Everybody's trying. Everybody's hustling, and everybody's doing it for the betterment, the good of mixed martial arts. So I'm fans of you guys as well. Thanks, guys. I hope you enjoy your Thursday evening, and enjoy the fights from Singapore on Saturday.
Yeah, we didn't get a chance to talk about that, but thank you very much, Gigi. And hey, go say hi to the JTR and the Goz himself, and we'll see you guys tomorrow on Junkie Radio.
See you guys. Take care.
Gigi, you're the best.
Right.
Thanks.
All right, Tony. It's always great. It's always wonderful to have Gigi on the show. 10 years in the sport, Gigi. Gigi and Goz, 10 years in the sport. They've been doing it. We just recently celebrated 1 year. We got a long way to go, right, Tony?
Yeah, but you know what? I'm such a big fan of Gigi. I can hear him talk forever and ever. So, we're blessed to have him on. Thank you, Proteus, for making that happen. And we're grateful for all their support, and we support them till the end.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. And I know that it's kind of like convenient that, Tony and I haven't been able to call into the show very much, and we've started our own show, but things in both of our lives have gotten very busy. And I love to call in, and I'm usually at least a day behind now, unfortunately, because you know, I run my own business, so I get behind, but I'm always supporting, I'm always listening to the podcast. And this is what I said earlier on, Tony, when SiriusXM took them out off of live rotation, I said, you know what, they're always going to survive because they've always been a podcast, and I'm used to catching them on the podcast. So I really love those guys. They would literally give you the shirt off their back. Okay, Tony, but I digress. So let's get the end of this show going. Let's get out of here. Play a little outro music. That's right. As everybody knows, I like to put a little rock, inject a little rock into the end of my shows. I don't know why. So I can't go to bed for the next 2 hours, probably. Listen, guys, we thank you very much for following us, for listening to us. If you're not following us, you're not subscribed, please do that. We'd appreciate that. Tony, quickly.
Always, we love you guys. Thanks a lot for all the support. As John Morgan would say, thanks for listening.
There goes Tony, apparently. I was going to ask you for a Twitter follow of the week.
I'll give you one. Twitter follow of the week, @HollyHolm. Cue the music. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Tony. And do it again, please, real quick. Well, wait. Let me find the end drop before you do it.
Hey, Pro, I got to give you this, though. Let's give a quick shout-out to Eddie Gordon, who started following us. So, shout-out to Eddie Gordon, @TruckMMA_UFC. Shout-out to Eddie for following us.
Yeah, man. You know what? We thank you all for following us. And it's great when people recognize that we're trying to do business. But, again, Misha Tate, we apologize. We didn't have time for you tonight. GG was taking up all the time, and I had to play down with the sickness. So, sorry, Misha, we'll get you on next time. Please, please, don't lose faith in us. We want for you to be on the show. Right, Tony?
Absolutely. Misha, we apologize. We ran out of time, as Proteus, my dear friend, said.
Yeah, and just like that. Right, Tony?
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Sorry I'm late. I just don't give a fuck.
Ha, 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 ha.